Alright, good morning everybody.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to class. This is the second class of our new season, I guess. Please turn the lights.
I only turned.
There's going to be some fine print that we need to be able to see. So if you're on the camera watching this, the lights are off on purpose because I'm going to be using the PowerPoint here in a few minutes. And I want everybody to be able to see what's going on. So if you think we're in the dark, it's on purpose. You should have in front of you lesson 144, Sonship Edification Origins. Now, last week when we resumed class after our summer break, we started looking at a new development within the grace movement in the last 15 to 20 years called Sonship Edification. And I want to get right into the notes because there's a lot of things to say and do here this morning, and I want to make sure that we have time to do that. So point number one under introduction and review, the main point of lesson 143, which was the previous lesson, was to impress upon you that when you hear the word sonship, you ought not assume that you understand how a person is using that term. The terms adoption and sonship have a widely varied meaning depending on who is using them. Consequently, the majority of our time was spent looking at the question of what's in a name. And we did that last Sunday, okay? A few summary points. In order to accomplish that purpose, we began by looking at how the Greek word translated adoption is rendered in both the King James Bible and modern versions. By doing so, we saw that the word sonship does not occur in the King James Bible. In contrast, modern versions such as the New International Version, or NIV, render the Greek word as adoption to sonship, each of the five times the word occurs in the New Testament text. Brother Mike here pointed out to me that sonship, that word, is in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. I had not thought to look there until he mentioned that, so I thought I should include that at this point. So underneath point number two, you have a subpoint that just says the definition of sonship out of the English dictionary. And it says the state of being a son or having the relation of a son, filtration, the character of a son, and then I also gave you the English word, definition of the English word adoption, the act of adopting or the state of being adopted or taking and treating of a stranger as one's own child, the receiving of one's own, what is new or not natural, God's taking the sinful children of men into his favor and protection. So that's how the English dictionary defines the English word adoption, okay? So we further noted that many Bible teachers over the years have used the term sonship to describe the results of adoption in the Bible, i.e. the fact that all believers are adopted into the family of God as fully grown adult sons. We observe this point by considering the writings of C.H. McIntosh from the 1860s and C.R. Stamm from the 20th century. Moreover, we considered the entry on adoption found in the popular reference work, Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, and this was done in an attempt to ascertain the mainline evangelical view of adoption. So all that is summary and review of what we did in the last lesson. Okay, we're looking at what's in the name with this idea of adoption and sonship. And then last, we considered the definition of biblical adoption that has been advanced by the supporters of what we're now looking at, sonship edification. And what I elected to do here is just restate the shorter definition and not the longer one. If you remember last week, I had two definitions from Mike McDaniel's notes. One was a little bit longer, the second was a little bit shorter. And for the sake of space, I just gave you the second definition again. He defines it as, a father adopted his son for the purpose of installing his wisdom into his son so that the son would labor with his father in all his business. And so we talked about the idea that how sonship edification is defining adoption is that what happened, or their concept of biblical adoption is that a father would look out amongst his natural born sons, and he'd be looking for one that was particularly bright, industrious, hardworking, interested in laboring in the family business, and then he would adopt that son and take over his education process himself and teach him everything related to the business so that he could take it over and so on after the father was gone. And that definition, that concept of adoption, biblical adoption as sonship edification as defined it, certainly has some wide-ranging implications, okay? And we will talk about that, but not quite yet this week, okay? So, bottom of the page, again, our main point of our last lesson was to impress upon you that when you hear the word sonship, you ought not assume that you understand how a person is using that term. The terms adoption and sonship, again, have had a widely varied meaning depending on who is using them. All right. So the point last week was just to say the following. Okay. If you hear somebody using those words, you need to ask them what they mean. Okay. Because they have not been used in the same way necessarily throughout church history, and certainly not today in our day. Now, before looking at the origins of sonship edification in the grace movement, I would like to include our discussion of what's in a name by presenting one more important name, the joint heir position. Now, I'm going to stop here for a minute, okay? There's a lengthy disclaimer in your notes, okay? I deliberated a very long time over a period of weeks about whether or not I was going to include this, okay? Because, as most of you in this assembly are aware, there is a controversy that is out there surrounding the joint heir issue in Romans 8:17. You know that I have been involved in that controversy and that I have written a paper that was critiqued over the summer by the authors of the original paper. I debated for a long time about whether or not I was going to include this information, because what I did not really want to do is continue to further discussion and just continue ad nauseum this never-ending sort of debate, I guess, for lack of a better word. But let me explain to you. I decided that I needed to include it. Okay? And let me explain why. If the purpose of what we're doing here in this class is to cover the history of the abandonment and resurgence of Pauline truth from Paul to the present. In doing that, sonship edification cannot be ignored. All right. And if I'm going to discuss the history of sonship edification and its development, neither can we ignore the issue of the joint heir debate. And the reason we can't is because otherwise the class would be left incomplete. Okay? So let me try to explain this to you. I've been involved in that. I'm teaching this class. If I teach this class in such a way that I just skip this point, then it could very easily be said of the Grace History Project that I purposefully left out information that could be damaging to myself. You guys following what I'm saying? I'm in the process right now of teaching my freshman world history students the historical process of how historians operate as part of their world history class. And one of the things I was telling them about this week is that every historian has a point of view. Every historian has a point of view that they're trying to get across to their audience in the way in which they tell the history. And I don't want it to be said of the Grace History Project that I left certain things out for the sake of possibly deflecting or escaping criticism or not telling the entire issue, okay? So that's why I did this. So I do want to read the disclaimer so that it's out there on the video, and then we'll move on with the points. So the disclaimer, so this is What's in a Name Part 2. Disclaimer, I deliberated long and hard over whether or not to include the information contained in this section of the Grace History Project. In the end, I determined that historical completeness and transparency necessitated the inclusion of this section. To get your bearings, we will be mentioning three different papers. The first one is Heirs of God or Joint Heirs with Christ. That's by Matt Stutzman and supported by Northern California Grace Fellowship. So from now on, that'll be abbreviated NCGF. Ifs, Ands, and Buts, The True Inheritance Controversy of Romans 8:17, that was written by myself, and it was a critique of the above paper, The Heirs of God or Joint Heirs with Christ. Then we have Wrongly Deriding Joint Heirs with Christ by Matt Stutzman and Ryan Michael Jones, also supported by Northern California Grace Fellowship, which was a rebuttal to the paper that I wrote above Ifs, Ands, and Buts, The True Inheritance Controversy. Please note the secondary rebuttals authored by Ryan Michael Jones. The King James Bible is all Greek to Brian Ross, an exposition of the Greek game of Brian Ross, an erroneous Acts 28 argument, no Pauline resurgence, just old chestnuts, a rebuttal to the Acts 28 straw man of Brian Ross. Now let me say there, all of these will be linked. When I post these notes on the internet, I'm not hiding anything here. If you want to read what they're saying about me, what they're saying about my paper, I am fully transparent in that regard, and you can access it through the notes that I'm giving you in this class. Everybody following that? Okay. So, in late July 2013, following the Grace School of the Bible Summer Family Bible Conference in Chicago, I can't remember who, sent me a copy of a paper entitled Heirs of God or Joint Heirs with Christ. That's the first paper listed above, published and promoted by Northern California Grace Fellowship. Around the same time, I was added to the Joint Heirs with Christ group page on Facebook, where the aforementioned paper was being discussed. After reading Northern California Grace Fellowship's paper multiple times, I became convinced that they were mistaken on how they were understanding joint heirship in Romans 8:17. Northern California Grace Fellowship's paper maintains that the if so be in Romans 8:17 places a condition upon being a joint heir with Christ in the previous part of the verse. Now, here at the assembly, we've talked about that a lot. If you're just watching this and you haven't heard any of that discussion, you can read all about it in the papers that are going to be linked to these notes. The condition that needs to be met in order for one to qualify for joint heirship according to these brethren, that's the Northern California Grace Fellowship brethren, is that one suffer with Christ in/for the Pauline paradigm of Scripture. Parties interested in the details of the doctrinal disagreement are encouraged to consult the papers linked above. Following some initial participation in those discussions on Facebook, I left the group for a variety of reasons. In December 2013, I preached a message at Grace Life Bible Church titled, Is Saeed Abedini a Joint Heir with Christ? Unfortunately, during that message, I accused the brothers associated with the Northern California Grace Fellowship paper of drafting their paper for the purposes of stirring up trouble on Facebook and the internet. I also called them peons and suggested that they forced me to use Greek to make my arguments. In late January 2014, we, Grace Life Bible Church, removed the message, Is Saeed Abedini a Joint Heir with Christ, from the internet, and issued a public apology from the pulpit and on Facebook. Now, how many of you guys remember that? Okay? All that stuff you should remember if you've been attending over the last 9 months or so. Alright? So, on Monday, March 17th, 2014, I released my critique of Northern California Grace Fellowship's paper, Ifs, Ands, and Buts, the Two Inheritance Controversy of Romans 8:17. I then spoke on the subject at the Grace School of the Bible April's Pastors Conference, where hard copies of my paper were distributed freely. As some of you may be aware, earlier this summer, late June and early July, immediately prior to and in preparation for the Grace School of the Bible Summer Family Bible Conference, Northern California Grace Fellowship published a rebuttal paper titled Wrongly Deriding Joint Heirs with Christ, and sent it to as many as the conference speakers for which they had contact information. Enclosed was a cover letter from the pastor of Northern California Grace Fellowship, fully supporting the paper and commending it to the brethren for their consideration. I should also add here, it's not here, they also mined all of my friends on Facebook, mine and Brother Jordan's, and sent them unsolicited messages promoting this paper and asking them to read it. And not only that, they also tried to post at least two or three times things on our church, Grace Life Bible Church Facebook page, that I took down. Okay? As stated above, my decision to include the information contained in this section within the Grace History Project is in the interest of historical accuracy and transparency. Not only is the joint heir controversy a modern development within the Grace movement, but is directly related to the subject matter we began discussing last week in Lesson 143, Sonship Edification. Consequently, the Grace History Project would be incomplete if this controversy were simply stricken from the record or ignored. Therefore, it is in the spirit of historical accuracy, not retaliation or revenge, that I decided to include this content as a means of explaining why I and others associated the joint air view of Northern California Grace Fellowship with Sonship Edification. I have included links to all the relevant documents, even those that are critical of my paper, as well as my personal character. See papers listed above. I will seek to limit my comments to documentable facts only and offer little in the way of editorial commenting or defense against, or personal defense against my accusers. Okay? So, everybody understand why I'm doing this? Okay? Maybe some of you don't agree with why I'm doing it. That's feasible and maybe even valid. I think that for the purposes of this history project, I think that for me to, this is the only way for me to approach this in a way that is sort of fair to all sides and transparent about my involvement in what's going on and what has happened. Now, let me say that before we move on to the next point. The joint heir position, different name, but some similar teachings to Sonship Edification. Okay? I am not the only one that was of the opinion that the papers and the teaching that were coming out of Northern California were in fact a form of Sonship Edification. The reason for that is the internet activities and footprint of the people who wrote the paper and were promoting the paper. Okay? So, earlier this summer, as I've already said, Northern California Grace Fellowship released a rebuttal to Ifs, Ands, and Buts titled Wrongly Dividing Joint Heirs with Christ, in which they took exception with my associating their joint heir view with Sonship Edification. Specifically, they characterized my work as a conflation of Sonship Edification with their joint heir view. Moreover, they denied having any cognizance of Sonship Edification when drafting Heirs of God or Joint Heirs with Christ. Similar accusations were also made in the Northern California Grace Fellowship YouTube video from May 6, 2014, titled Similarities and Differences Between the Joint Heir Doctrine and Sonship Edification. In that YouTube video, they are very vocal about how there's no evidence out there to support any confusion that their joint heir paper is related to Sonship Edification, and that is a purposeful, bold-faced lie on my part and the part of others. Okay, so let's look at the next point. These are curious statements given the history of Northern California Grace Fellowship's internet footprint, as well as the public social media postings of one of my chief critics and authors of Wrongly Deriding Joint Heirs with Christ, Brother Ryan Michael Jones. See the PowerPoint for photographic evidence. Okay? So, I want to explain to you why I and others thought that the joint heir paper that I critiqued with my paper was emblematic of Sonship Edification. Okay? So, this is the title page from Heirs of God or Joint Heirs with Christ, Sanctified Works in the Dispensation of Grace. You can see that it is authored by Max Stutzman. You can further see from the second page that additional contributions were provided by Ryan Michael Jones, and also special thanks were given to Pastor Ron Knight of Northern California Grace Fellowship. Okay? So is there any doubt that this paper was put out by Northern California Grace Fellowship? No. Okay. Here we have the title page from the rebuttal to my paper, Wrongly Deriding Joint Heirs with Christ. Rebuttal to Brian C. Ross's paper titled Ifs, Ands, and Buts, The True Inheritance Controversy of Romans 8:17. Collaboratively authored by Matt Stutzman and Ryan Michael Jones. This one has a publication date on it, June 22, 2014, with special thanks being given to Brother Ron Knight, who is the pastor of Northern California Grace Fellowship. Okay? Everybody with this so far? Okay. The third slide. This is a picture of the Northern California Grace Fellowship website as of this morning. Okay? If you click on this link here about us, it will take you to this page, Teaching God's Grace,
where over here you will see this list of past sermons, and then there are numbered options here. I want to point your attention to number 2, where it says questions and answers, and then it lists a blog, Bible Answers Rightly Divided, blogspot.com. Okay? So, what that is the official blog site of this assembly. Why I come to that conclusion? Let me go back. Northern California Grace Fellowship, you click on About Us, says if you want to know where past sermons are, here are options. You have YouTube, and you have the blog site, you have the radio, and then you have the local cable TV. Alright? I don't think I'm misinterpreting this to be a blog that they wish to send potential readers or people with questions too, should they need to have something answered. I know on our church website, we don't link to stuff that we either, number 1, don't agree with, or number 2, don't support, or number 3, have no idea what's there, especially in a format situation such as this. Okay? Everybody with that? So I'm on page 4 now in the notes. So that's slide 4. Okay, now, here's my point so far. This blog is advertised on this site as a ministry of this assembly, Northern California Grace Fellowship. Is it not?
Yes.
Okay. On August 10, 2013, Ryan Michael Jones, one of the authors of the paper that was critical of me, and a contributor to the first paper, okay, Ryan Michael Jones states, not all members of the body of Christ will reign with Christ as joint heirs, only those that suffer, and he gives Romans 8:17 and 2 Timothy 2:12. If you aren't in agreement with that, this group probably isn't for you. Now, notice, what website is this? This paper is then linked to what blog site? What blog site is it linked to?
The one on the board.
Was the one on the board in the previous slide advertised as a website associated with the ministry of Northern California Grace Fellowship? When this was posted on the blog, it was under the heading Sonship Edification. August 10, 2013, that was the heading on Bible Answers Rightly Divided Blogspot. So folks, if I read this paper that's coming from their website under that heading, aren't I pretty safe to conclude that this is supposed to be viewed as something related to sonship edification? Okay? Here's another, so now on the next slide, August 19, 2013, Brother Jones said, they are familiar with the doctrine of joint heirship, notice, which I prefer over the term sonship, because joint heirship is more to the point, focusing on the goal versus the means. Now again, am I misreading that by thinking that he's equating joint heirship with sonship? I would say no, especially when you have this posting to their church blog site under the heading Sonship Edification, I would find that paper. Everybody with me so far? Okay? Next slide. Here we have August 28th, slide 8. You may have read the paper on the subject written by Max Duesman and contributed to myself and Ron Knight, have you? And here it is again. Bible Answers Rightly Divided. Notice the link even has sonship here. I'm glad you asked sonship edification, and that title page should remind you of that title page. Okay? So, the evidence is clear to me that anybody who was just looking at this stuff and paying attention and
was watching the paper be promoted would have been under the impression that that paper was in fact indicative of sonship edification. Alright? Here is now, here's their blog, and you'll notice that now it's been what? It's been changed. Okay? So now they've changed it from sonship edification to heirs of God or joint heirs with Christ. So that change was made subsequent at some point after August 28th. Okay? Because August 28th, that link still says sonship edification on it if you went to it. Now, if you go there today, this morning, I checked, this is what it says now. Okay? So at one point, there is no doubt to me that there was an issue here that people, let me say it this way, anyone confusing this paper with sonship edification would only do so based upon the way it was being handled and posted and promoted on the internet. Okay? I don't think I'm out of line or some sort of, you know, fool for thinking that this was, in fact, indicative of sonship edification. Now, June 7, 2013, Ryan Michael Jones, again, co-author and author of a second paper, co-author on the first, contributor on the first, co-author on the second, notice, he's listing here the order of main Pauline points, Pauline history doctrine resurgence to date, salvation by grace through faith, faith without works under Luther, pre-tribulation rapture under Arius, Paul's unique apostleship authority, Darwin, Plymouth Brother, etc., the refinement of when mid-Acts, ultimately Acts 9, the body of Christ, Baker, O'Hare, Stamp, and then he has this aside here about the issue of the King James Bible being the preserved Word of God, and notice that he mentions myself as offering a further refinement to what Pastor Jordan had to say about it, but then look at point number here, point number five. Sonship slash joint heirship, Blades, Newbold, McDaniel, Strzelecki, Knight, Stutzman. Okay? He is equating joint heirship and sonship edification together in that statement, and he's saying that this is the line of resurgence in his point from his mindset of that particular doctrine. Now again, folks, am I out of line or misinterpreting what is being said here to read it that way? I'm not going to comment on that. I'll leave that up to your own opinion. But it's clear to me, the evidence to me is overwhelmingly true that there was a time where this is how it was being promoted. All right? Now, if there was and there clearly at some point was a shift away from wanting to be, a shift away from comments like this, that are running the two things together and saying they're synonymous and then stringing out a long list of names of people who were involved in the resurgence of that particular doctrine and including themselves in that statement. Okay? Anybody with me? Any questions about this, Mike?
So the two are synonymous now? It's not a subdivision under sonship?
What I am saying to you is that in last year, throughout the summer and fall of last year, they were talking, promoting, and posting things that would indicate that sonship and joint heirship are just different names for the same thing. Okay? And what I'm saying now, to make it clear, and I appreciate your question, is that they have now, more recently said, our joint heir view is not and should not be considered the same thing as sonship edification. And Ryan Ross and Grace School of the Bible are liars for having conflated the two together. And what I'm saying is, I don't think I need any more things to look at here other than to look at these postings themselves, that on their official church blog it was listed as sonship edification, and comments like this are being made. So early on, they were saying these were synonymous. If they want to say different now, that's their prerogative, and I understand they're free right to do that. But I don't think it's necessarily fair to accuse others of having misunderstood these things. Now, next point. Now, this one is from March 20 of this year. March 20, 2014. Sonship can be a loaded term, though. Nowadays, many people perceive that term to be synonymous with Keith Blade's study system, involving Proverbs 1 as a framework, etc. Since it is often referred to as sonship edification and even just joint heirship for short. Okay? Now notice, is there a definite shift in what's being said here? In June last year, all that stuff was what? It was together, and the pastor of NorCal Grace Fellowship is placed in the same line with Blades. Okay? Now, this year, spring of this year, now he wants to make a distinction between them, when previous, he didn't make that distinction. Okay? Yeah.
So a year ago, was he saying when it was worth mentioning, he cited you and Free School of Bible as being worth looking at. Was he not against what you were saying a year ago, but now he is? Is that what that means?
What that means, the way, okay, I'll get, so in June, last year, June 2013, I was unaware that this was even an issue. I was not aware until late July, early August that this was an issue. And so there was no sharpness between myself and Brother Jones. Okay? Nor was there yet a lot of sharpness between Northern California Grace Fellowship and Grace School of Bible over these issues. That all started to percolate, I would say, in late summer of last year. As this issue became, Facebook was used as a vehicle to promote the paper. And as more people read the paper and were understanding what was being said in the paper, they started to have objections to it, and then it started to be discussed. And from there, it sort of became a point of contention. Okay. Now, to be fair, May 6, 2014, so that was the spring of this year, okay, Northern California Grace Fellowship put out a video titled "The Similarities and Differences between the Joint Heir Doctrine and Sonship Edification." So it's clear that now, at some point in the spring of this year, they now want themselves to be viewed as different, separate, or distinct from the sonship, from the sonship edification position. Okay, and I'll just go back here quick. That is not the impression I think that any common reading of that would give you. Any common reading of this from June of last year would say that it's the same. We view ourselves as the same, and we're putting ourselves in the same line of resurgency, if you will, as Blades, Newbold, McDaniel, and so on. Okay, Fred?
Are they in any way distinguishing between sonship and sonship edification? Are they?
They do, to a degree.
I wonder if their complaint is that they've been talking about sonship, where you assume they've been talking about sonship edification.
Okay, let's say for the sake of debate that that's true. So I'll go back here to their own blog site where they're posting their paper under the title Sonship Edification.
Yeah.
So any so-called misunderstanding that I have is based on reading what they put out and how they put it out. So, yeah, everybody following that?
Mm-hmm.
So, and so I'm going to hold off on that one. Okay, so back to the notes. So, we got all these. I covered slide 10, slide 11 on May 6th. I covered that. That's the one right there with the YouTube video, Similarities and Differences. Okay? So, I want to go to the top of page 5. The following facts are plain given the above evidence. Okay? Initially, the Northern California Grace Fellowship paper, Heirs of God or Joint Heirs with Christ, was promoted on an official church blog under the heading Sonship Edification. It is also evident from the comments and praise for the paper found below the link to the paper that readers viewed the Northern California Grace Fellowship paper as indicative of Sonship Edification. As of Sunday, September 14th, 2014, that's today, there is no posting from Northern California Grace Fellowship correcting or altering their reader or alerting their readers that the joint heir view is somehow different from Sonship Edification. That's this slide. Go there when you get home and look. Okay? Read, these are comments and praise for the paper underneath its posting on the blog. Approving things that are excellent, well done. The body of Christ needs to understand this doctrine for sure. And I'll be printing it and sharing it as I'm able, looking for open doors. Now watch. For any brother that are interested in more sonship doctrine, Brother Mike McDaniel in Texas has a series of studies on his webpage, Grace Hughes Teaching. Does a person that reads that paper think that paper was indicative of sonship edification? Now why would they think that? They would think that, number one, because it was posted under that title, like I've already showed you, and number two, the paper has many points of commonality in what it's teaching about joint heirship with what sonship edification teaches about joint heirship. Second, if anyone wishes to learn more details on sonship edification, then visit the forum by Matthew Yetzma, that's a different Matt, that is dedicated to sonship edification, and then there's a link to it. Then he says, you will find many articles about sonship and edification for believer saints. So again, this person thinks that the paper, that when they read this paper, they're reading about what? Sonship edification. Again, still underneath there. I am so thankful for this paper. After studying the Bible rather than divide it for about 5 years, it takes a long time to unlearn what I thought was wrong division. I have just now started to study sonship edification. How exciting. I've been using the teaching of Pastor Mike McDaniel found here. There it is again. If you want to get his teaching, there's a link there. Okay? Last, this paper is a good introduction and an excellent study on sonship edification. Can be located online by Mike McDaniel, blah, 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 Millennium Bible Institute. Now, we'll go back to the notes. So, as of Sunday, September 14, 2014, there is no posting from Northern California Grace Fellowship correcting or alerting their readers that their joint heir view is somehow different from sonship edification. There is no posting on this site saying, nope, we're not sonship, we're joint heir. Okay? And not only that, you can access sonship teaching this morning through this blog with no statement to correct any potential misunderstanding. Consequently, Northern California Grace Fellowship is allowing a misconception of their paper to go uncorrected on their official blog site, while at the same time, they are accusing me and others of conflating their joint heir view with sonship edification. Brother Jones, a contributor to Heirs of God or Joint Heirs with Christ and co-author of Wrongly Deriding Joint Heirs with Christ, is on the record multiple times equating the terminology joint heirship with sonship edification. Now, at some point in the spring of 2014, Northern California Grace Fellowship took, and we should say, some steps to distance their, quote, joint heir view from some of the more objectionable aspects of sonship edification, namely its use of Proverbs 1 and establishing a table of contents for Paul's epistles. We're going to talk more about that later on. This took the form of changing the title on the blog posting from Monday, February 25th, 2013, that contains a link to their paper, Heirs of God or Joint Heirs with Christ, from Sonship Edification, as it was originally titled, to Joint Heirs. In addition, the aforementioned YouTube video was released on May 6, 2014, to explain the differences between Northern California's Grace Fellowship's joint heir view and sonship edification. Now, I need to read this. I am perfectly willing to accept the fact that Northern California Grace Fellowship does not now fully embrace the teachings of SE, or sonship edification. That being said, It is not as though the actions on the part of Northern California Grace Fellowship documented above would not have led one, and still may, for one who only looks at the blog, to conclude that prior to the spring of 2014, their position was not part and parcel with Sonship Edification. Their official blog advertised their first paper as Sonship Edification, and one of the paper's chief contributors was all over social media equating the views expressed therein with Sonship Edification. Okay? So, any questions about that? Mike?
Well, this thing sounds so fluid, isn't it a little soon to get to? It's like Luther and Zwingli trying to work out stuff in the Reformation, and not quite having it.
All I'm saying is, I'm trying to put forth the way they want to be understood.
But it's obviously a very important document because they themselves are listing it as number 5 and further refinement in the Grace Movement. And you don't do that unless you are trying to change something.
Well, I'm glad that you said that and I didn't have to, because that's my perception of it too. Okay?
It's obviously things are being worked out, are still not.
So the way I would comment on that is the following. If they wish to be understood as having significant difference, as having points of differentiation from Sonship Edification, I am perfectly willing to grant them that. Okay? What I take exception with is being called all sorts of unsavory names, which some of you have read that stuff, and being accused of making something up, and there being no evidence or no, there being nothing that would have ever led anybody to conclude or confuse that their first paper was or had something to do with Sonship Edification. When there are postings, the one you just cited with point number 5, Sonship, I mean, it was written just like this, right? Sonship / joint heir, with a parenthesis and all the names of everybody that's in that line of that resurgence of point number 5, and then include the name of the pastor of Northern California Grace Fellowship in that, and then say Ross and Grace School of the Bible are liars and are misrepresenting things, when the information that I'm getting is from the information that they're putting out. Okay? So I agree with you that there's stuff here that is still in the shaking out in terms of the doctrine. I understand that there's doctrinal discrepancies here between these things. What I'm trying to set forth is that joint heir position is not exactly the same as Sonship Edification, because that's what they're saying. But I'm going to take it a step further now. Look at the notes. The joint heir view expressed in Heirs of God or Joint Heirs with Christ is not identical to the Sonship Edification position. However, it is a cousin, as I expressed in March 2014 release of Ifs, Ands, and Buts. While Northern California Grace Fellowship does reject some aspects of Sonship position, they are also in agreement with Sonship Edification on the following issues, among others. Number 1, the progressive nature of the believer's sanctification in Romans 7 and 8. Number 2, the conditional nature of the Holy Spirit dwelling in Romans 8 and 9. And 3, the conditional nature of joint heirship in Romans 8 and 17, just to name a few. For a complete explanation of the similarities and differences between the joint heir position and Sonship Edification, interested parties are encouraged to either view the video or read the transcript from, should say, or transcript from, the Northern California Grace Fellowship video, The Similarities and Differences Between Joint Heirs Doctrine and Sonship Edification. Mike, I would rather, lest I be accused of misrepresentation, have you click on that link and go hear it yourself from them about how they're different.
Okay.
Okay? I've just given you a few summary points here, as well as an explanation of how myself and other brethren associated with Grace School of Bible who were watching this and involved with this came to the conclusion that that first paper was indicative of sonship edification. That conclusion was come to by their own activities on their own websites, as well as their own activities on social media and how they were characterizing their position. That's not me interpreting anything. That's them saying how they wish to be understood. Okay? Especially here. From that, and again, that was from June 7, 2013. So, any questions about any of that? Alright, if there aren't, by the way, I should say this. When this is released, when these notes are released, they will have some additional links in them that they don't have now. One will be a link to a written transcript of the similarities and differences video that I was just mentioning, as well as a link to a video that we'll see here in the next section as we work our way to the end here. All right? So I want to move on now and talk about origins. As we observed in Lesson 143, a distinct type of sonship theology has developed within the Grace Movement over the past 15 to 20 years. Presently, this type of sonship teaching is known as sonship edification. Proponents of sonship edification subscribe to the following tenets of mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalism. Number one, that the body of Christ did not start in Acts 2. Number two, a difference between Israel and the body of Christ. Number three, a difference between the earthly and heavenly places and purposes of God. Number four, a difference between prophecy and mystery. Number five, that Paul is our apostle during the dispensation of grace. Six, a difference between the rapture and the second coming, and many more. If you were to take the general doctrinal statements of a lot of the sonship ministries and look at them, you would see that they are pretty standard as far as a doctrinal statement that you would expect to see from a mid-Acts dispensational church. Okay? So this is what we're talking. I'm not interested in sonship in other denominations. I'm not interested in sonship in other areas. What I'm interested in here, we're interested in, is sonship within the Grace Movement. Now, the fountainhead of sonship edification within the Grace Movement was Keith R. Blades, author of the popular book Satan and His Plan of Evil and founder of Enjoy the Bible Ministries. When I first released Ifs, Ands, and Buts on Monday, March 17, 2014, I was very critical of the sonship edification position regarding joint heirship in Romans 8:17. Outside of the introduction where I addressed sonship specifically, my criticisms largely took the form of footnote citations of two of the most prominent sonship teachers, Mark Newbold of Triangle Bible Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Mike McDaniel of Millennium Bible Institute, headquartered in Imperial, Texas. Okay? On March 21st, 2014, Northern California Grace Fellowship released a YouTube video not more than 5 days after my paper was made public, and there's a footnote on this that I'm not going to read at the moment for the sake of time, titled Responding to the Opposition. Folks, I released the paper on a Monday. They had a meeting at their assembly Wednesday night, and they filmed a video that was on the internet for about 24 hours before they thought better of it and removed it. Okay? I saw the video. I sent links to the video to about 20 of my friends, pastor friends in the ministry. Many of them saw it and reported back to me. By the next morning, the video had been removed. Okay? Before the video had been removed, one saint in particular was so disturbed by it that they had the presence of mind to create a written transcript of it, which I have in my possession. Okay? So any attempt to deny the authenticity of the transcript on the part of Northern California Grace Fellowship, there are multiple saints that would be ready and willing to vouch for the fact that the video was posted on their YouTube page and then later removed. Okay? But anyway, titled Responding to the Opposition, in which they attacked me for not including / mentioning the fact that Keith R. Blades also taught two separate inheritances in Romans 8:17. This was characterized by my critics as a tactical decision on my part to not willfully alienate any of my readers from within Grace School of the Bible who hold Brother Blades in high esteem. This video was removed from YouTube on March 22, 2014, not more than 24 hours after being posted. The tenor and nature of the video so disturbed some saints that one had the presence of mind to make a written transcript for the video for posterity's sake. This same allegation regarding Brother Blades was repeated early in May when Northern California Grace Fellowship released their YouTube video, The Similarities and Differences Between the Joint Heir Doctrine and Sonship Edification, and again this summer, late June, early July, when they released their rebuttal to Ifs, Ands, and Buts titled Wrongly Deriding Joint Heirs with Christ, in which they stated the following, quote, "While Brian has wrongly conflated sonship edification position together with joint heir paper of Northern California Grace Fellowship." Let me just stop there. Look, folks, I just showed you the evidence. Okay? Am I a complete knucklehead that I would think that this paper that's being promoted on their blog as sonship edification and responded to underneath the paper as sonship edification was in fact sonship edification? I mean, I don't think I'm an unreasonable individual for coming to that conclusion. So it is their internet footprint that led me and others to, not to mention the content of the paper, which was completely in step with what sonship teaches on Romans 8:17. But anyway, while Brian has wrongly conflated the sonship edification position together with the joint heir paper of Northern California Grace Fellowship, he has also not disclosed to his reader some details concerning the history of sonship edification. Page after page, Brian repeatedly cites Mark Newbold and Mike McDaniel, two names most likely unrecognizable by those within Grace School of the Bible. Yet not once does he ever mention that these two men were directly taught influence in their sonship edification paradigm by the ministry of Brother Keith Blades, a name that most certainly recognized and respected by many among Grace School of the Bible. Was this a calculated omission by Brian? That remains suspiciously unclear. Yet it most certainly could have been. After all, by leaving Keith Blades out of the discussion, the reader is led to believe that the heirs versus joint heirs distinction of Romans 8:17 is something embraced only by a handful of, quote, rogue grace pastors in the outer fringes of mid-ex dispensationalism. Okay? So, my next point. The reason I did not include a discussion of Brother Blades as the fountainhead of sonship edification in Ifs, Ands, and Buts is because at the time of the paper's release in March 2014, I was unaware of Blades' involvement in the articulation of the position. I just didn't know. I wasn't trying to tactically hide information. I just didn't know that that was the case. And in fact, if you read on this point, it was the video removed from YouTube responding to the opposition that first alerted me to the role Keith Blades played in the articulation of the sonship approach to Scripture. After learning of Blades' involvement, immediately I set out to investigate the matter, and since late March 2014, I have read every issue of Blades' quarterly Bible study periodical, Enjoy the Bible Quarterly, in chronological order, in an attempt to understand both the theological and historical evolution of the sonship edification paradigm. Folks, I didn't know that Blades was involved. If I would have known Blades was involved, I would have said so. This was not any attempt to cushion the paper against anyone in Grace School of the Bible. In fact, when I asked about it from those within Grace School of the Bible, they already knew what Brother Blades said about it. I didn't know, but they did. So I've been taught some things by those brethren. So at this time, having completed that course of study, I can now say with certainty that Brother Keith Blades was the fountainhead of modern sonship edification doctrine within the Grace Movement. Moreover, a clear theological and historical progression with respect to sonship edification is readily apparent in the writings of Blades. Prior, we had only read Blades' published books, booklets, and pamphlets, which do not contain much, if anything, by way of sonship edification information. Okay? Functionally, Blades reserved writing about sonship edification to his quarterly newsletter. In addition, there is very little by way of audio/video material available of Blades' teaching on sonship edification. I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a future lesson. So, consequently, it is theoretically possible that one who has never read Blades' quarterly periodical would have no idea that he was the point of origin of the sonship edification movement. If you've read all of his published books, booklets, tracts, and pamphlets, you wouldn't have a clue. Some of you are shaking your head, yeah, because you've read that stuff.
It's true.
It's true. The only way you would know is if you read the quarterly journals. Because he doesn't write about it anywhere else except in the quarterlies. Okay? And I've read every single one of them from 1996 when it started to 2009 when it ended. He died in July 2010. And I could lay out on a timeline exactly when he's teaching what and when he's teaching it and what he's saying in that time frame. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So, anything I didn't say in the paper about Blades was simply because I didn't know it, and I had read Blades' printed and published materials, but not his quarterly newsletters. Yeah.
Well, this could be equated to the fifth point of dispensationalism, and Keith Blades didn't write a book about it and think it was that important that people knew above everything else. Where does that, what position does, what's the position of Keith Blades, as far as everybody knowing?
The issue with Blades, Norm, is that when the calendar turned from the 1990s into the early 2000s, he became physically ill. Okay? And he started, and so that limited what he was able to do. And I don't know if you go to his website even today, he had under construction for years and years and years this site about the excellency of older English and the King James Bible. That was never finished. He started that book, very simple survey of the Bible. He got two volumes into that and never got any further. And to me, from what I understand, a lot of that is related to his physical health. But he sort of was the fountainhead of it, and then he taught it to a guy we're going to look at more, this gentleman, Mark Newbold. And then Mark Newbold and now Mike McDaniel are the ones that are primarily responsible in the last four to five years for really, really promoting the concepts that Blades started through his ministry, through their ministries. Okay. Mark Newbold would have weekly phone conversations with Blades where he would record them, where they would talk about all this stuff. And then Newbold then sets out in his assembly to teach what he and Blades are discussing with respect to sonship edification. But if you read Blades' printed stuff, you won't find, you have to read the quarterlies, okay? And you also have to read them in order. Because if you pick up one from the end, and the end of the sequence, and you read it, you're going to be like, what in the world is he talking about? Okay? Look, I'm not saying that to be uncharitable or unkind to Blades. As a young man in the late 1990s, Blades' book, Satan and His Plan of Evil, impacted me more than any other book I read. And I've said that before, and I'll say that again. It's what he got into towards the end of his life that really has created the problems. Okay? So, let me just wrap this up. Other ministries around the United States that are also teaching Bladesian-style sonship edification, these ministries include the following. Mark Newbold of Triangle Bible Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Should say Mike McDaniel, so we'd strike the S on that. Of Millennium Bible Institute, headquartered in Empire, Texas. David Winston Bush of Columbia River Bible Fellowship in Vancouver, Washington. Brother Bush is also the author of the Sonship Establishment Study series of books, which at present contains the following two volumes: More Than Conquerors, Sonship, Sufferings, Prayer, Intercessor, Ministry of the Holy Spirit. That was in 2012. And The Fullness of Christ, The Prisoner, The Creature, and The Eternal Purpose of the Father of Glory. That was written last year in 2013. Josh Strzelecki of Twin Cities Grace Fellowship in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who I do have cordial contact with about these things. And then finally, Ron Knight and Northern California Grace Fellowship are best thought of as modified Blasian Sonship Edification. These brothers desire that people know that their joint heir view is not identical to, nor is it synonymous with, sonship edification. And I will say to you that based upon their video, that is how I constructed that statement. They do say, here's where we agree, here's where we disagree. So again, if you wish to get more of that, rather than me say it and be run the risk of mischaracterizing it, go there and watch it yourself. And remember what I said. All the videos, all the documents, everything will be linkable, will be linked up through the electronic version of these notes. Okay? Are there any questions or comments here? Because we're already a little past. Mike?
Just quickly, I'm amazed how these controversies and debates are being dealt with now. It's all modern technology has changed everything.
I don't know, though, if it's changed it for the better.
It's so different. It's different.
I mean, you think about what went on with in O'Hare's era.
Yeah.
If O'Hare's having a dispute with Ironside, he's writing about it, but he's writing it in open letters addressed to Ironside, like we've observed, you know, a few years back now. Okay. But anyway, I included it. I didn't really want to do it, but I felt like we probably needed to. So thank you for bearing with that lesson, and we'll move on next week. Thanks for coming.